And so this was an Innovation Prize finalist back in 2017. Since then, I've made changes to the hardware, changes to the software, changes to the enclosure, and done a lot of testing. So I think by now we all know what coordinated flight is. It's not necessarily true that the airplane's nose is pointed the direction it's flying, but it's desirable. And the big problem with uncoordinated flight is that if you stall uncoordinated, there's an increased risk of spinning. So how do we measure coordination? The turn coordinator is basically a bubble level, and it's measuring the local acceleration, where the load vector of the airport is pointing. And so the ball position is directly related to the lateral acceleration of the aircraft, and we can measure that with a computer. So what does the buzz ball do? It senses the ball position and activates one of two vibrating buzzers in the seat cushion to notify the pilot that the ball is out of center, and so the pilot can just step on the buzzing ball to regain coordination. So of course, there's a computer inside of it. This is built on the Arduino platform. There's a Arduino Mega 2560 main board, inertial measurement unit board that's got a three-axis accelerometer and a three-axis magnetometer, a motor control board, and then there's two additional boards that are mainly for research and development. They probably wouldn't be in a production version of this. There's a second IMU board, which also adds a solid-state gyro, and there's a data logging board, which lets me collect data on a tenth of a second basis to figure out what was going on afterwards. The actuator is a General Motors product. It's the haptic seat motor. It was used in the lane departure warning system on a lot of Chevy vehicles. Total bill of materials here. There's about $260 of components inside the prototype. It could be a lot cheaper in production. And almost everything in there is Amazon Prime, so by the time you get back from Oshkosh, you can have everything waiting at home to build one. The software is written in C. The algorithm samples the accelerometer at 400 hertz. The main loop runs at 10 hertz. It converts the lateral acceleration to a ball position. It filters that with a quarter second low pass filter. If the ball is outside of a dead band, then one of the two buzzers activates. And so the dead band that I've been working with so far is the ball being three eighths out of the center of its cage. And so there's a graphical depiction of what that looks like there. I also have a slightly narrower dead band for a slower filtered version of the signal, so that help the pilot maintain better ball position in steady state cruise flight. I've added since the last time a spin mode, where if there's a high sustained yaw rate, then the buzzer intermittently buzzes on one side, and that tells you which rudder pedal to use to recover from the spin. Everything gets logged, and all of the code's available on Bitbucket if anyone wants to download it. So I've done a lot of testing. It's 150 hours so far. It's all in one aircraft, though, but a bunch of different people have flown it, and it's about 100 hours or so with the latest version of the software as is. Here's some data from coordinated turns. So that bottom graph is showing heading over time, and the top graph, the red line, is the ball position. And the red dotted line shows where the limits are. And so you can see there's, at the top and bottom here, there's little red and green flashes showing when the buzzer's going off. And so there's an occasional momentary buzzes at the start and the end of a turn, but generally they're lasting half a second, quarter second, and they're very quickly corrected by the pilot noticing that. And again, this is how far the ball is out when it buzzes. So here's some uncoordinated turns. So we start with a skidding turn to the right, and you can see the ball is activated continuously during that time, and skidding turn to the left, same thing. Here's some more uncoordinated flight. Basically here I'm doing some slips, and then I'm flying around for a while with my feet on the floor. And so at the start I rock the wings without touching the rudder, and there's a sustained ball indication in either direction. I do some slips. I do some cruise with my feet in the floor, and it's fairly slow cruise, so it looks like I needed a little bit of right rudder there occasionally, and it occasionally went off to tell me that. And then some gentle S turns, again with my feet in the floor, and you can see that there was a lot of adverse yaw in my aircraft, and I hadn't really realized how much I used the rudder until I made myself fly with my feet in the floor and see how much it went off. So the big challenges that we've run into, there's a ton of vibration, and I've spent more time trying to mitigate effects of vibration than anything else. I've got software filtering, I've got mechanical filtering. I switched to a different IMU sensor that last year that ended up not working well, switched back to the original one. Another big issue I've had is that my aircraft is very badly magnetized, and so it's very hard to make absolute heading measurements. So when I go back to look at the data logs, I wrote down, did this north, 90 degree turn to the west, and I'm like, wait, I was never going north. So that's been a big challenge. There's some other issues with sensor calibration and stuff that haven't been a big problem. So just to sum things up, the Buzzball has a potential to reduce fatal stall spin accidents by making pilots aware of unintentional uncoordinated flight before they stall. Anecdotally, it seems to have very much helped me maintain coordination unconsciously. I took it out for a while, put it back in, and things were a lot better. And it's important to convey critical feedback actively, not passively, so it can break through distraction and mental clutter and not just be solely oral or visual, because the sense of touch is underutilized. It's very easy to install. You set the cushion on the seat, you plug it in the cigarette lighter, or it could have a battery. With a glass cockpit, you could very easily integrate it into that. And it's very low cost. You could build it for much less than I did. And everything you need to build your own is online at this website here. And I'm happy to help anyone who wants to.
Thank you, Ethan. And now you'll have 10 minutes with the judges. Go.
When the ball is displaced out of the center, is there any differentiation between half ball out and full ball out, or is it only buzz the same way all the time?
There isn't. So right now, the buzz indication, it's full power all the time. I experimented some with pulsed. With pulsing it, I experimented with varying the amplitude of it. It turns out, I think that certain parts of your body are not exquisitely sensitive to fine graduations in touch. So you can say, hey, I feel it on the right side, or I feel it on the left side. But to say this is like half, this is a gentle buzz versus like this is very aggressive, like it's not really noticeable. It's worth looking at that again, though, because the initial buzz actuators that I used were very, very weak. And it could barely be perceived at all. So maybe now with this much stronger one, it's worth looking at that again. Also, I didn't want to do any sort of intermittent thing, because intermittent stimulus is much more like breaking through the clutter. Like, it's much more dramatic than continuous stimulus. And so I wanted to reserve that for the spin mode to make it very clear that it was something different. So like for when you're conveying information through touch, it's really, I think, important to have very, very simple bits of information be conveyed, because the part of the body that responds to that is, oops, I touched a hot stove, pull my hand back. It's not the, oh, this is slightly warmer than I want to be. Like that's where I was coming from. That
is there a delay or something for in turbulence, or so it's not screwing you up?
So the low pass filter, there's a quarter second low pass filter, and so if in turbulent flight, at least in my experience in turbulent flight, even if I'm very active on the rudder, I'm still occasionally, if I watch the ball, it's moving back and forth, right? And the ball in a real aircraft, a mechanical ball, is a filtered sensor, right? Because there's some mass there and there's a viscous fluid, I assume it's oil, and the ball's moving around in there. So there's some filtering in there, and I kind of tried to match the filtering in the software with the perceived filtering of the instrument, although I pretty much did that just by taking an old turn coordinator and shaking it around and watching. So it goes off in turbulence. It definitely goes off a little bit, but when I watch the ball, it's out there too. If somebody thought that was distracting, they could go add some more filtering to say, hey, sense when things are very turbulent by looking at all three axes of acceleration and go and reduce the sensitivity on that. And then also that's the reason that I have this lower threshold for the sustained, very slowly filtered signal, is that I filter it for 250 milliseconds for the normal indication, but then I also filter it at 2 seconds. In that, I have a lower threshold, which right now is 0.3, so slightly tighter, but I think I would go down to maybe like 0.2, 0.15 or something. And then if the ball ever stays out in cruise, that it would go off. But then you're starting to get into the area where this is a training tool more than a safety warning system, right? Because I can turn that ball sensitivity down really, really low. And I did this for a while, and my coordination in cruise was exquisite. But it was super annoying, and it went off all the time, and it's basically becomes you're driving the pedals in response to the ball, because at least for me, it's much subtler variations than I can perceive with my own body. So I think I talked about that some more later. I think that that's something that would diminish the impact of this system as a safety system and maybe make it a better training tool. And that's an interesting question, is whether which one it's best at. But I don't know that you can do them both really well, because you lose the perceived like importance of like the signal, and it stops being something that breaks through clutter if it happens all the time.
So I like this, especially as a training aid. I check a lot of people out in a champ, and that has less stability than some other airplanes. And in the pattern, you see him looking into the turn away from the ball, and I think this would really help here. What concerns me a little bit is when we do some spin training, there's a picture we use of a Grobe 115 in a spin, and there's a ball on each side, and one is to the left and one is to the right. So tell me about that.
So that's a good question. I had not thought. So in the paper, I talked a lot about the importance of where to mount the sensor, in that it should be near the aircraft's center of gravity and rotational center. And you could do some filtering to have it mounted away from that, but I mostly cautioned don't put it way back in the tail. Don't put it way out at a wingtip, because there you've got these inertial forces that differ very much from what's happening in the center of the mass of the aircraft. I did not think about what happens in a spin. So in my aircraft, it is mounted, say, so it's about 2 feet, probably 2 or 3 feet behind the center of gravity of the aircraft and on the center line. And so just in full disclosure, the only spin testing I did with it is I sat in a chair in my kitchen and had somebody spin me around. And then just to make sure that once it was in the aircraft that it was right, I went out there and ground looped over and over again.